Let's change the way we do the world. Let's nurture habits that lead to better habitats and a more sustainable future for all. Get started at OttomanNatureInstitute.org/action.
Bring your family to meet ours at Audubon Zoo and Audubon Aquarium, where you can rule the day with Arnold, flip out with Midas, get chummy with Ace, and of course, hang out with Rue. Get your tickets today at OttomanNatureInstitute.org.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit Ochsner.org/4children to learn more.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Do you know what ultra-premium ice cream is? Well, in order to qualify for an ultra-premium ice cream, you have to have more than 16% milk fat. This is commonly described as a dense, rich, creamy, heavenly, sumptuous, decadent, indulgent ice cream. And our pals, friends, and partners over at New Orleans Ice Cream Company has the most delicious ice cream you could ever imagine. I mean, let's say Bananas Foster, go for it. Chocolate City, go for it. Mardi Gras, King Cake, go for it. They have the Po' Boys, which is like their own rendition of an ice cream sandwich. Okay, it's two different ways. You can get it with the vanilla bean or the Creole cream cheese. And it's this kind of like very soft cookie situation that sandwiches. It's called the Po' Boy, and you gotta try it out. Y'all, you can find New Orleans Ice Cream Company around the country, but also at our Rouse's, our dear friends, and other grocery stores all around. You try it out. And guess what? When you're not in New Orleans and you're trying some of that Bananas Foster or that King Cake, it'll transport you in some sort of way vicariously. NewOrleansIceCreamCompany.com. Nola Papa is proudly sponsored by Rouse's Markets. You'll love us for more than just the low prices. Make shopping easy with pickup and delivery. Everyday low prices, unbeatable quality, family-owned delivery and pickup options. We buy local services, catering, and bakery. And that Gentilly Berry cake in that case is so fine. Oh, y'all, you know the Gentilly Berry cake. Oh, find it at Rouse's Markets. We interrupt this regular programming to say that over on our website at nolapapa.com, we have the biggest deal we've ever done, and it's half off both our books, The Secret Mermaid Review and The Adventures of Addie Underwater. You can find them all across New Orleans, Target.com, Amazon, but only at nolapapa.com can you get it signed and half off. I don't know how long it's going to be there as to I see fit. Right now, it's good as gold. So at checkout for Addie, put in Addie 50. And for The Secret Mermaid Review, put in Secret 50 at checkout. And let me know when you did, okay? Just tell Nola Papa. Tag it.
Hey there, Nola Papa fans. This is Nick from Sandpiper Vacations. At Sandpiper Vacations, we specialize in making dreams come true. Who doesn't love a fabulous vacation? Picture yourself in Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line. We are your ticket to the Disney dream. But hold on, it's not just about Mickey and Minnie. We're talking about Universal Studios, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, and cruise lines like Royal Caribbean and Virgin Voyages. And that's just the beginning. Guess what? Booking your dream vacation doesn't cost you anything extra to use our services. We are here to give you that added value to booking your vacation. Sometimes we can save you some money. We'll save you time. We'll save you the stress and take out that hassle of booking your dream vacation. So head on over to sandpipervacations.com, click on Get a Quote, and let your adventure begin. Make sure you mention that Nola Papa sent you.
This is Adrian Sosby, your freelance content creator and editor of the Nola Papa podcast. From corporate videos to compelling documentaries, podcast production to engaging reels, I bring creative energy to your business. Plus, I specialize in YouTube management, helping you grow your channel and reach new heights. Let's collaborate. Contact me at 404-247-1083 or visit solidicemedia.com to see examples of my work.
Life is so much more than a blog. It's also unafraid, unique, and unscripted. A Nola Papa podcast.
New Orleans is a certain thing. You know, there's like a mystique about New Orleans, right? And it's really funny when people that come to New Orleans and they don't jive well, you know, and it's like they don't understand why things run so slow, why workers run, you know, at half pace. You know, it's like they just don't understand New Orleans. And New Orleans, it as beautiful of a gem as she is, she's as backwards as they come. And that is what makes New Orleans so incredible. Mixed with once the sun goes down, okay? So when your papa first came to the city, I hit the ground running out of Mississippi. In the middle of the night, I got in my car and I drove to New Orleans by myself a lot of times. And there is a really cool switch that happens after the sun sets. And I didn't know any of that. All I knew is I wanted to be gay. And I couldn't do that in Mississippi. So I left and I got introduced to the city during Mardi Gras. Happy dead gummit. It's 23 years this season. I am literally old. Okay. 23 years. And it's like yesterday. I come. And I had come with a couple people. I had wandered because, you know, if you want to go to the other end of the Bourbon Street, you know, that's where the gays are. Then, you know, you kind of have to get split up purposely. And that's where I went. And the friends and the people that I met once the sun went down really solidified where I wanted to go. And to know, as fast-paced as New Orleans nightlife was, this was the change I needed. And in this time, there's not many of them around that I literally can say I like them so much. I love them. They've been to my wedding, okay? I've only had one. I'm still married. One wedding, and he came to it. And literally one of the first people I've ever met as a person, a transient, you know, coming from by way of Mississippi. And he is about to drive up in my driveway. He has this car, and when you hit the horn, it goes. And so when he drives up, I know when he drives up. So anyway, fast forward it to right now. And this man is a beloved DJ and has been for over 7 decades. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, really 2 decades, as far as I know. He might have to correct me, but and if it's not 2 decades, it's right up on the cusp. It's mine and your cousin Dimitri. You hear it? there's that horn. I knew it. All right. And he, give him a second. He got to walk up and knock on the door. But I've known this cat for as long as I've been in the city. There he is. Come on in, cousin Dimitri. Come in, baby. Hey, you.
Hey. How you doing?
I am so good because, you know, I love talking about past, and especially past that makes me happy and smile, and that I think is pivotal in the direction that I came. And Dimitri, like, I had blue hair when I met you the first time, and that means I still lived in New Orleans, in Hattiesburg. Okay. Because I was doing blue hair in Hattiesburg at a diner. I want to say how genuine and sweet you've always been to me, and that from day one to you coming to the wedding, to me getting the cinnamon out of my spice container, that's what he gave us for our wedding, and just seeing you on the radio, you know, you're the one that got me to listen to Bob Dylan. You don't really know that. You weren't like, Max, here, listen to some Bob Dylan. But I remember how much you liked him. Like, you love Bob Dylan, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, Dimitri loves him. I'm going to listen to him. And I love him.
And back then, you had to go hunting for him. There wasn't Spotify. You had to...
Right.
You had to look for it.
Right. So one thing I love, another layer of Dimitri that I love, is you get New Orleans weirdness, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it gets me.
And it gets me, too. And, like, there's people that don't jive with our New Orleans, and then there's people that just, like, it's just, it just goes on like, you know, bacon in a frying pan. And what's cool is when I met you, like, you, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you were a DJ at WWOZ, I think, but also a server at a beloved place called Cafe Anjali. Did you do those two at the same time?
Yeah, for several years, yeah.
Wow. Anybody that went in the nightlife on, you know, in the Fruit Loop on Bourbon Street back in like 2002, 2001, 2003, maybe. So what did you think of Cafe Anjali? Because I loved it.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to eat there all the time. These days, I probably wouldn't want to work at a place that I like so much, but I didn't know then that you could, you know, mess it up for yourself. So, yeah, no, I was there a lot. And then one day I asked the guy that I knew a little bit that was working there. I was like literally picking up food, and I was like, are you guys hiring? And he said, no, but, you know, like, fill out an application anyway, because you never know. I'm like, well, if you guys aren't hiring, I'm not going to fill an application. He's like, no, fill one out anyway, you never know. And then the owner at the time, the manager owner, sees me filling out the application, comes up and tells me, like, you know, when can you start? And I was like, okay. And then unbeknownst, I found out later, the reason they were hiring is the guy who gave me the application was being fired, but he didn't know that, and I didn't know that. I might not have taken it at the time. But, you know, the funny thing, I worked at Anjali for 9 years, 8 years. Mm-hmm. I've been on OZ for WWOZ for over 20 years now. Oh. Like, New Year's Eve 2003 was my first time on. So just over 20 years, 20 years and, like, you know, like a month. But what's funny about thinking about that stuff is how anything I think of, like, I don't know, how long have you and your husband been together? Like 15 years? How long have you been together?
Almost 18.
18. If on the first day of something I told you it was going to last for 15, 18, 8, 20 years, you'd probably run for the hills, especially when you're young. You know, if you go into like a first date or a first day of a job or a job interview thinking I'm going to be here for 20 years, chances are you're going to run for the hills. You're going to be like, no, you're going to look for a reason to run, right?
Right.
And then that all you can do is do it day by day. You know, all you can do is, whether it's in a relationship, a job, any kind of situation, all you can do is show up because you want to, you know, you enjoyed being there yesterday, you want to go in today, and hopefully you want to go there tomorrow. Because if you think in terms of, you know, things we're talking about like half our lifespans at this point, you know, like I've known you for half my life.
He just put it into real terms, people. Like half our lives. That I was talking to my daughter tonight, Dimitri, actually. She said, Papa, you lived in New Orleans longer than you lived in Mississippi. And I was like, oh my God, it's true. It's true. Yeah. And I love what you just said. However, what's really neat, and I think that the only way someone knows this is through life experience, but as our relationship developed, so did other things that happened in New Orleans, like 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit. And everything that we knew, you know, Cousin Dimitri, he is beloved DJ there at WWOZ. Everything, like everything we knew, every local, that's what was so one of the things that was so sad with Katrina was the people that you did love, you weren't able to be like, all right, bro, we'll see you tomorrow, you know, all right, we'll see you next week, you know. It was just like bam, all of a sudden no contact. And up until Katrina, I would at different times, I would take Cousin Dimitri to his shift over when WWOZ recorded in Louis Armstrong Park. I don't know if y'all remember that. That's how old I am. And, you know, now they're at Decatur and, you know, the French Market and such. But to go through what you went through and to, you know that you loved being a DJ and the most unique city in America, it took a lot, probably. I don't know. I wasn't in the situation. But for you to figure out how you were going to remain a DJ and stay committed, the commitment is what really, I think, shows. It's like creme, when cream rises to the top, like, because I also worked at Eat Right at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And people, you know, when they worked, what there were people that, you know, kind of wanted to work, you know, New Orleans. And then there were people that really were committed. And when you find those people that rise to the top, it really makes trials and tribulations a little bit easier to navigate. And you, I mean, commitment, like you over like 20 years, like what was it like, not to go into Hurricane Katrina and all that, but like, you know, navigating, like, did you continue DJing? Like, was there like no airwaves? I don't remember.
Yeah, so WWZ went off the air for a while, definitely. And I don't remember exactly when it came back on, like probably came back on the internet first and then the airwaves probably. So I returned to the city in October, like, so, you know, just a little over a month more after Katrina. So Katrina was end of August. I got back into the city in October. And I think at the time OZ was not broadcasting. I think maybe they were like, oh, there was a station in New Jersey that had like done us a solid and basically were hosting us like online. So you could listen to WWZ online stuff pre-recorded that the people had recorded over the years. Sometimes basically just a shuffle machine playing New Orleans music. And then some of the DJs, wherever they ended up during the evacuation, if they were able to record a show, they would play that. So I was in LA for like a week of the evacuation. And a friend of mine was working at a recording studio where they did like sound for commercials, voiceovers and stuff. And he let me use it to record like an hour-long show, and a lot of people did something similar. But then, come like November, December, we were broadcasting out of Baton Rouge, and then we were back in New Orleans around like Christmas time of 2005, so just like 3 or 4 months after Katrina. And then we were in the French market for like, I don't know, like whatever it's been, like 18 years. We just moved to Jack's Brewery, like 3 blocks away, like a couple months ago.
Oh my, you're not even where I told you. The Happy Dog, that's cool.
Yeah, like literally it's been like Thanksgiving week, I think. So it's been like 2 months.
Wow. So
Jack's Brewery.
I wanna ask you, I don't know personal stuff, except you have a sexy accent.
Wow.
So where were you born and how long have you lived in New Orleans?
I moved to New Orleans and, well, I started visiting in 97, and then 97 through 2000 I kept coming here on vacations that got longer and weirder until about 2000. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to move to New Orleans for like 6 months to get out of my system. So I was living in New York at the time, where my stuff was in New York, but I was spending more and more time here. So a friend of mine that I met when I was visiting here needed like a roommate, and at the time, you know, our rent in a very nice place in the Marigny was a total of $550 for two people.
Wow.
So my first rent in New Orleans was $275 a month.
That's so like, one of those stories you could tell grandkids one day. You're like, one back when my day.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd stay here for 6 months. I worked in like basically right after New Year's, and I stayed through after Jazz Fest, worked the tourist season, and I worked in the French Quarter. And then I left, and you know, I went back to New York, and this was back in like 2000. So, you know, forget now. Back then, just, you know, I went to a job interview at a restaurant, and they gave me the menu, and they said, come back in 2 days and memorize it. I was like, what? Like... The people who eat here, can't they read? Like, and then, you know, I started looking for an apartment, and this place above this older couple's house, like the second floor of an old couple's house, they wanted to see 3 years worth of tax returns. And I was like, what? I was like, you know, I'm just going back to New Orleans. So the short story is I moved here for 6 months. It's been 23 years. So.
You guys, that's how it happens. It really does. Like, when it's in your blood, and I think it falls on us, like, I don't know if it's a curse or it's a blessing. Like, everybody says when you leave, like, oh, he's gonna come back. You know, it's like, I don't know if it's so deep in our bloods that, like, subliminally and subconsciously we want to come back. So it's like we shatter any kind of, like, bridge that, like, allows us any kind of, you know, way to another, because it nowhere's like New Orleans. I mean, I'm coming back from New York, y'all. It's gorgeous, and there's so much beauty around our country. But when it comes to our city, like, it's just, it's unmatched. I don't mean to offend anybody. Just saying what I say. I say what I say. And I am, you know, I worked at Eat, the restaurant, for 10 years when baby Ella was born, because you had come to the wedding. We had Allie Mae. And then once Ella was born, I backed away after 10 years. And it was, you know, leaving. I don't know if it was a liberating. When you have your own thing that you've got going on, it's liberating, I guess. I don't know. You don't know that until it's gone. But, you know, having my gig at Eat, it was a neat transition. Like, when baby Ella was born, I pivoted and I became a papa. And, you know, all the memories for 10 years and everything else, the clubs, all of its memories, but I pivoted. And I wouldn't change a diggum thing. I'm so happy. It's just where our lives take us in the moment. You have to, like, leap like a little frog. Like, you're, and you know what? I'm going to say, I don't know if you felt like this, cousin, but when you leap, it's like you're almost a little scared but you leap anyway because it's like, what do I got to lose? I'm gonna leap. And what's really cool with all this said, Cousin Dimitri did a pivot as well. And it is absolutely inspirational. My best friend, we rode the school bus together. She is now a principal. And she, you know, being a classroom mama like she is or was and now whatever, but that it brings, I'm not a teacher, but what that does to your soul, I can't imagine. You guys, what'd you do in later in life, Dimitri? Tell us.
Oh yeah, I'm in my fourth year of teaching middle school.
You guys, isn't that amazing? And not only that, but it's like Brainiac stuff. Is it like physics or is it?
No, so this year I'm teaching math.
I knew it.
I'm teaching three classes a day, and two of them are to like super advanced kids. Two of them are to seventh graders taking like ninth grade math. And one is like seventh graders doing seventh grade math. And it's great. I love it. Fourth year.
Wow. And I mean, you know, Dipstick, Mississippi, right here. Math was not my forte, but my husband, he gets excited doing math stuff and figuring out things, because it all comes back to math. Like, where were you? I don't know. Did you just say you woke up and was like, we gonna change things up?
So, you know, I think a lot of people have thought about teaching, and then the problem with a job like teaching or a lot of other jobs that everyone, you know, jobs you tell people you have and they're like, oh, bless your heart, or, you know, like, oh, I don't know how you do it, or, you know, thank you for your service or whatever, is you don't want to put rose-colored glasses on it, because you still want to fight for more pay and better hours and more respect. But I feel we also talk so much about what's wrong with it, and so in the news every year, you know, people are like, oh, teachers are underpaid, teachers are overworked, which is true, but we put that out so much that it seems scary to take it on, you know what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like you're, you know, like you're enlisting for the army or something, which I'm sure is also, you know, someone's dream that they've been talked out of. So the way it started is actually a specific way that I decided to do it. So I was working, after I left bartending and restaurants, I was working for like nonprofits. The last job I had before teaching, I was like writing fundraising material for national nonprofits. I was like, you know, like ghost writing letters from like celebrities asking you to like give money to the Red Cross or whatever. And a friend of mine that worked for the World War II Museum asked me in my capacity as a DJ if I would come and judge like History Day presentation. So kids all over America do these things for History Day where they do either, they can make a website, they can make like a diorama presentation, or they can put on like a little play. They put on like a 5-minute play about something in history. So he asked me if I would judge that, and I went in to judge it, and I think it was middle schoolers, and I was like, oh my God, like we all should just retire right now and give our keys to these kids, you know, like, because I think if you had asked me at that age, probably, I don't know what I would have done, but some of these kids were doing everything from the Harlem Renaissance to the Boer Wars to, you know, World War II, World War I, you know, these kids were doing these amazing presentations on things that like felt strongly about. I honestly had to like keep getting up and pretend to blow my nose so the kids wouldn't know I was crying. It was so beautiful. I did that 2 or 3 years in a row. And after that, I was like, you know, that's what probably I should be doing. I should just be teaching. There's an idea. You know what a Venn diagram is, right? Like the circles where they meet in the middle, you know.
I do.
There's like this, yeah, there's the circle of like, you know. So the idea of like choosing your job after a while as an adult, when you're old enough to like make conscious decisions and pivot, is there's things that need to be done God knows teaching is one. And there's things that you're good at, and there's things you enjoy doing, because you could enjoy doing something and not be very good at it. Or you could be good at something and not enjoy doing it, you know? Or there could be something that needs to be done that you have no interest in doing. So if you find something that you're good at and needs to be done and you enjoy doing it, that little centerpiece in the Venn diagram is probably what you should be doing with your time.
Mike drop. Wow. That is like, and you just broke it down so simple for my little mind. Like, I see, like, there's a yellow circle, a green circle, and a blue circle. And you want the one that's in the middle in whatever shade that is.
Magenta.
Purple. That's incredible. So after 4 years, do you feel like your cup is being filled?
Yeah. What's also, you know, the great thing about teaching also is there's not very many jobs you get like a do-over every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. A lot of jobs just keep going on and on and on. And there's slow periods. There could be promotions. There could be raises. It could be new coworkers. But it kind of like, you never get to like take 2 months off and be like, okay, I'm starting over. This is what I learned last time. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. This is what I want to try. So you can actually, 4 years in, it's great to see yourself get better at something. You're like, man, I really did a really poor job of explaining, like simplifying radicals last year. So I'm going to watch some YouTubes. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to think about like a different example. And next year, I'm going to show it in a different way, you know?
Wow. It's like trial by error.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So I could talk to you all night. I want to ask you something. So I ask everybody, because our show is about inspiration and, you know, tapping into, you know, it's not always what inspired us, but what inspires us. So number one, what inspired you, as a younger person, to be, I don't know, in the direction of teaching or just an open-minded person in New Orleans? I don't know. Go that direction, whatever way you want.
What inspired me when I was younger? I think just, honestly, what inspired me is like the idea, these things that you hear about when you find out what they're really about. You know, like I feel like there's all these things when you were a kid, especially before the internet, like you knew these names and then you like, find out what their real story is before you could Wikipedia them. Like, I remember, like, obviously everyone heard of Picasso, the way, you know, if you've heard of a painter, you've heard of Picasso or, you know, Van Gogh or whatever. And I remember, like, they brought a Picasso exhibit when I was, like, 4 or 5 to the place we were living, and we went and saw the Picassos. And it was like, okay, it's not just the name, it's this guy who had the style, like, he made the faces flat so you could see both sides of the face at the same time, though it's not realistic. Like, the realization that all of these things were created by a person who came from somewhere, you know? Like, they weren't dropped. So sometimes, you know, Shakespeare, these like real like linchpins of world culture that like everybody knows, when you realize that it's a person who could have just as easily not done it and gone to sleep or, you know, died of dysentery or something, it's pretty amazing that these things exist and that these people had no idea what they were creating at the time. That, you know, who knew the world would exist 500 years after, you know, Shakespeare, and people would still be reading it, you know? So just the fact that we're all drops in a bucket, or we're all drops in the ocean, but the ocean is made up of drops. So that's what I find inspiration in.
Wow. This is so great. You guys, this is like a reunion. I saw him a couple years back, but it hasn't been too long, and Facebook helps to make things not feel so long. Look at that baby. Uh-huh. Look at that baby. He has his kitty cat. That's a pretty black kitty. Is that a collar? Or
no, that's from the doctor. He just came back from the doctor. And I left
thought that was a white stripe. I was like, wow, that's cool.
No, he looks like his brother. So he's got the tag from the hospital on. So he's the only one I have to force feed medicine.
I have to force feed medicine, come to think of it. Oh, my goodness. Cousin Dimitri, you guys, we've been talking to legendary, beloved WWOZ DJ Cousin Dimitri. A dear friend of mine, New Orleans family. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Lovely, you were a light.
Lovely seeing you.
Love seeing you. And those kids that you see every day, they're lucky. And I they might not know it today, but they'll know it one day. And you're amazing.
No, you. All right. Lovely talking to you.
Of course. And from my family to you and your sweet fur babies, we send Nola love.
Oh, hey, how y'all doing? Are you in the market to buy or sell your home? Or perhaps you're a landlord looking for a top-notch property management service? Well, if that's the case, Steph has got you covered, baby. She is a top-notch performing agent with over 12 years of experience and dedication to providing the best possible service to her clients. She has a niche for understanding her clients' unique needs and finding their perfect place to call home. For sellers, she creates a custom marketing plan that highlights the unique features of the home to get it sold quickly and efficiently. Efficiently. For landlords, she offers top-notch property management services, maximizing investment potential. With Stephanie's knowledge of the market, passion for real estate, feisty for life, and commitment to exceptional service, you can trust that you're in good hands. And trust it, Papa says it. For all your real estate needs, call Steph. So just find her at realestatewithsteph.com. realestatewithsteph.com.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit ochsner.org/forchildren to learn more.
Well, hello, Nola Papa listeners. I'm Rob Shear, and I'm the founder of Comfort Cases. As many as you may know, foster care can be a very difficult time. It can be uncertain journeys for every child who enters. And we all must understand that children enter foster care because of choices other people made. I would really love for each and every one of you to visit comfortcases.org to find out how you can truly get involved, whether it's going through volunteering at one of our national centers, or whether maybe you might do a drive or a packing party. There's a way for each and every one of us to make a difference in every single child who enters foster care. You know, together we can give these kids hope, dignity, and we can give them a sense that we can... Together, we can give these kids hope, dignity, and love. Because isn't that what each and every one of us want? So please, listen to Nola Papas. And I know you're all good humans. And I know that you're going to visit comfortcases.org. Take care. Well, hey, Nola Papa listeners, it's Rob Shear again, the founder of Comfort Cases. You know, I know that each and every one of you are good humans. And for the last 10 years, we have packed over 200,000 comfort cases and have delivered them to all 50 states, DC and Puerto Rico, and have even opened up a center in the United Kingdom. You know, none of this would have not happened without you. Our community. See, each and every one of us must understand something. Your community is not your zip code, my friends. Our community is our human race, and it is up to us to make sure that the 438,000 plus children who are actually sitting in foster care know one thing, and that is they are loved. So continue to visit comfortcases.org and have an amazing day.
this is Doug Munster. I'm with Gift of Adoption. We provide grants to complete the adoption process of vulnerable children, giving them permanent families and a chance to thrive. If you have ever considered the adoption process or are interested in getting information regarding adoption, please reach out to us at giftofadoption.org. And if you have any particular questions, please go to Instagram and reach out to Real Modern Dads, send us a message, and we'd be glad to help you out in any way and assistance we could in your journey. And again, thank you so much for supporting adoption. We are here to create forever families and help as many families complete the adoption process as we can. Thank you so much, and we really hope to hear from you soon.
Hey everyone, Brian Rosenberg here, founder of Days with Kids. I have exciting news for those hoping to become dads. Until now, determining your best path to fatherhood and then trying to wrap your head around all the moving parts could best be described as overwhelming, complicated, and sometimes downright baffling. But not anymore. In early February, we're launching GWK Academy, a specialized program created specifically for queer men looking to become dads. GWK Academy should be the very first stop on your journey to fatherhood. First, we'll help you determine your best path to fatherhood. Then, whether you choose surrogacy, adoption, or foster care, we'll give you the information, the resources, and the connections you need so you can launch your own journey feeling prepared, knowledgeable, and confident. So be on the lookout for our official launch announcement at gayswithkids.com and make sure you're following us on social media at gayswithkids.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, P-I-N-X-A-V. Pink Salve soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksav.com, P-I-N-X-A-V.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use Nola Papa. Get that keyword, Nola Papa. Pink Salve, y'all.
I'm always trying to find not only things that, you know, inspire people, but also what fascinates people. And I've had people on in the past. I've had, I personally am fascinated by like psychics and things of that realm. So we've had psychics on, right? And other things, whether it's children's health, we have them on with the doctors. I am just minding my own business, okay? I am looking at the Instagram and I look down and there is a reel. Okay, a reel, for people that doesn't know what a reel is, it's kind of like a montage or a video, if you will, of, you know, what is, whatever the person that captured it is. So this particular thing I'm looking down at is from a character named the Joker of New Orleans. And I think this particular video, it didn't look like it was New Orleans, but it was, it kind of looked New Yorkish. I don't know. But this fella looking just like the Joker, green hair, whole nine. Okay. Tells this girl her birthday, month, day, and then year, and then the day of the week. Okay. So I don't know where it came from. I didn't search for Joker of New Orleans, but obviously this lifts my eyebrow. So I look more, and this cat has unlocked cell phones, looking at people's eyes. All right. And the Joker of New Orleans is going to be calling me up on my cell phone. But when I was looking at his stuff, it just had an AGT vibe. It just rang out America's Got Talent. Oh, that's him. Hold on. Hello? Hello? Is this the Joker?
Yes, it is.
He got a real deep voice, y'all. Deadgummit, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on.
I am real excited because what fell into my lap, Joker, okay, blew my mind. And the more I looked, the more it was like, dang, he's got chops. So what do you classify? Because you're not psychic medium. That's different. I feel more of a magician.
Yeah, so the term that I like is mentalist.
Oh.
Because it is a performing art, just like magic is, you know, giving the illusion of impossible things happening and special abilities, you know, and it gives the illusion of that through methods like sleight of hand, things like that. In the same vein, I'm doing things that give the illusion of mind reading, predicting, influencing, stuff of that nature. And I'm doing basically the same thing that I don't want to step on anyone's beliefs, but I basically do the same thing that psychics do. I just do it a lot better, in my personal opinion. So.
Oh. Well, I've got to tell you that it's very, you called it mentalist. I love that because you're getting into, I guess, the head of the person.
Yeah.
You're getting into the mental.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
So I love that you're from New Orleans. Are you really from New Orleans?
Yeah, I've been, you know, I've lived here my entire life, the New Orleans area, born and raised. So, yes, absolutely.
Dang it. So you, at an early age, like, where does this come, like, where does it bubble up at?
Oh, you mean the performing aspect?
Well, there's different facets to it. There's performing, but then there's right. Also, like, I think I got something here. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, and then when they cusp, when it came together, like,
well, okay. So really I started doing magic, sleight of hand magic, and what you normally think of, cards, coins, that all started senior year of high school. I was about 17, 18. And, I fell in love with that, continued practicing, getting better. But then it wasn't until during COVID, when the world shut down and I was stuck at home, that I decided to shift the focus slightly, because there is some crossover, but I decided to shift the focus slightly to mentalism and studying that while I had so much free time. No one could work or go anywhere. So I dedicated a lot of time and effort and money into that as well. And it wasn't until the end, well, I guess the middle of 2021, when the world started to open up, that I was finally able to really go out in public and practice everything that I had learned and studied. And that's when I started to realize, like, hey, this could really be a thing. I think I have a knack for it. And yeah, you know, wow. A few videos later and here we are. So.
Right. So when you... kudos to, because it's all about opportunity, you guys, and absolutely. and know what can better yourself, and to be in a time of COVID and still looking at yourself and bettering yourself to grow, kudos, you know, because that was a fearful time.
It really was, and I mean, I'm the type that if I'm passionate about something or I'm interested in something, I'm going to dedicate a lot of time to it. And if I'm not interested in it, nothing's going to get me to focus on it. I have ADHD, always have since I was a little kid, and getting me to focus on something, I really got to be interested, because no amount of will is going to make me do it, you know?
Right. You have to keep it tantalizing. So I have a question. Would you be interested in doing anything on me like that, like you do on the things I've seen?
Yeah, I can try something. Reading people via video call is a little more difficult, but influencing people is a little bit easier to do. So we're just going to try something. And maybe you've seen a video of me doing this, but I'm going to try it on you. I have here a deck of playing cards, and every card is facing the same way, except for one card. And I want you to get a random playing card in mind, as random as you'd like. And I'm hoping that I've been able to subtly influence the card that you are now thinking of.
Okay.
So for the first time, I've got my prediction here. For the first time, what card are you thinking of?
I was going, you guys, y'all listening, I was going in between them, and then I landed on Ace.
Which one?
And see, that's where I'm not good with cards. I've never seen any of your cards because I'm not good at cards. Let's say Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades?
Sure.
Now, you could have said any card, but I want you to see this. Every card in here is facing the same way. I want to be clear. They're all facing the same way,
yep,
except for one card. The Ace of Spades.
Oh!
And you had to say the Ace of Spades because it's the only card with the blue backing.
It's blue backing against all the red, y'all. Okay. So that's cool. Never had that. All right, Jay, I got a question. So
go
when
ahead.
You crossed over into mentalism, we'll say it's mentalism. Is there a science to where people think and you as the artist, you seize on that moment? How does mentalism works?
Yeah. So some of it is genuine science and some of it is lying and trickery and deceiving people, which, you know, kind of also ties in with magic. But there are certain elements of mentalism and certain principles that rely on certain psychological things, or if poker players might be familiar with this term, but certain tells that different things that people do with their eyes, their face might give away what they're thinking. And yeah, there is some science to it. Absolutely.
But what's crazy, and I try to think of the science, but like I literally was in three different choices. Number two, number seven, and then I thought, is number seven really a card number? And it was like, now I don't Goodness. Even know, so I'm gonna say Ace, you know.
Right.
And like I know number two was a card number, but then you were like, of what I don't even know what it is called. Of what thing? And I was like, oh, I don't even know. And then I said spade. Like there wasn't like, you guys, I legit wasn't like, it was all so spontaneous. And so as a mentalist reader, like there is more to it than science.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely, at the end of the day, it is an art form, and which is nice because it does give me some leeway to get things wrong, and that does happen. I've posted videos where I don't get it exactly right. Most of it isn't a science. It is still an art form. It's just the difference where, you know, with me, if I don't get something right, I just have to own it. You know,
sure.
Whereas with a psychic, if they get it wrong, or a medium or something, they can just say, oh yeah, the spirits are giving me conflicting information. I just interpret what they tell me.
Right.
But I have to eat it if I don't get it right. I just, yep, you know what? That's on me. My bad. So.
Wow. So you've started since COVID, read people?
I mean, I don't want to say that I have like some crazy gift of reading people that I was just born with and I've always been like this or anything like that. But I'd say that, you know, and I'm the type that likes to look at things from a scientific perspective. I'm not spiritual or religious or anything like that, despite growing up that way. I've since turned away from that. But, you know, we hear this term intuition a lot, and it's like that gut feeling that you get. But I think that there is a scientific term or a scientific explanation for it. And basically there's a part of our brain called the amygdala that basically evolved to keep us alive. And it gives us that freeze, fight or flight response that if something feels off or something feels dangerous or something just doesn't add up, that fires and lets us know. And that's, you know, where a lot of people get anxiety is an overactive amygdala. And it's a small part of the brain about the size of an almond. But, you know, our brains are hardwired through years of survival and evolution to be able to recognize patterns and recognize when things are starting to form a pattern or recognize when there was a pattern and something seems off. And so, you know, some people would call that intuition. I just say that it's, you know, evolved biology. Some people have an overactive amygdala. Again, they have anxiety. It's always firing. Some people have an underactive one. But unfortunately, I do hate to say, but, you know, that can also be a trauma response from, you know, relationships or traumatic childhood experiences. You can start to learn to pick up on things and trust that gut feeling more and more. And I'd say between studying and practicing and also life experiences, I've eventually gotten to that point where my intuition is pretty good.
Absolutely incredible. My God. So back to the card trick. What are the chances of someone having the same guess as me, be like ace of spades? I don't even know if that's a common card, but
so usually when you ask someone to think of a card, if they immediately indicate that they've got one, usually people do go for the ace of spades or the queen of hearts. Those are the two most common ones. And interestingly enough, I think the least common card that people think of is the nine of clubs. I mean, for you, it just so happened that, you know, you said the ace of spades. I had a feeling that maybe you weren't super familiar with playing cards. So I was like, yeah, we'll go for something easy. But I do have a video on my profile of me doing this in the street where, you know, I got the guy to say three of hearts. So
there's another trick that you have done that got me. I believe you were in the mirror and you wrote milk.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know what I did. I don't even know if I could rethink the thought pattern of how it happened. But the ending result was what was in my brain, and I was left shook.
Yeah, it was elephant, I believe.
Oh my God. Yes, that's my favorite animal of life.
So it's interesting because as I was developing that, I've seen other influencers do that, you know, especially in the mirror where they're like, oh, you know, think of a sport and then go to the last letter and think of an animal that starts with it. Oh, you think of a lion. And it's just like, okay, yeah, well, you know, most sports start with, end with L, and like, you know, who the hell is going to say lemur, you know? But I was sitting there thinking about it and I was like, I want to come up with one. And I was like, well, the second letter or second to last letter, I mean, there's tea, there's water, there's coffee, there's beer, there's whiskey. And I was just like, God, there's so many drinks that have E as the second to last letter. If you get someone to think of the letter E and say, you know, think of an animal, most people are going to go with elephant. And so I was like, okay, but there's so many other drinks that I have to, you know, get people to not choose. And there's a famous mentalist, I stand on the shoulders of giants. I don't want to take much credit for what I do. But Stephen Banachek, I believe his first name is Stephen, but he just goes by Banachek, which is his last name. He has a show in Vegas now and all that. And he came up with a popular, a popular principle in mentalism, which is excluding by inclusion. So if I say, you know, think of a drink or you know, I write on the mirror milk and then wine and then Coke. And then I say, now think of a drink, but don't think of any of these. Think of something else. Well, now I've eliminated milk, Coke and wine. You know what I mean? Or if I say, think of a card, but don't go for something obvious like a face card. Well, now you're restricted to number cards because I just told you don't, you know, but mm-hmm. It feels like there's so many options, you know, but in reality, you're actually being very restrictive. And so, yeah, I came up with that on my own and I was like, yeah, let me try that, you know.
It's incredible. It really is. And it shows the range, if you will, of something, you know, like America's Got Talent. I know. That I've had the Collies on, she's great. But anyway, I like to see talented acts like that and I go after them. And you definitely have it. So where are you with like, in an act like that, that's like 2 minutes in front of the whole world. Is it a lot to think about? Have you ever thought about it doing America's Got Talent?
Yeah, I mean, I'd thought about it before, but then I started researching into it and I'd heard some unflattering things about it, which made me skeptical. And, you know, I did do a conference call earlier today with one of the casting producers. And he kind of set my mind at ease about certain things, but ultimately he, you know, I was like, well, I mean, I guess I'd still be interested. He was like, okay, well, the only thing is your videos online are great, but they're on the street and the producers of the show, before they, you know, lock you in and send you a contract, they're going to want to make sure that you can do this stuff on a stage, that you can take what you do and scale it up to something really big. And, you know, be able to make it entertaining to watch and be all over the place and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I think I can figure out something like that. But at the same time, I do love that personal feel of just one-on-one, you know, which it's
kind of like what we're doing. We could practice
a little bit. I mean, well, so the thing is, it's a catch-22 because a lot of what I do, you know, it's so easy for people to be like, that's impossible. He must be paying them. And it's like, okay, yeah, I guess it is impossible. But at the same time, like, that's my specialty, is taking something that looks impossible or is impossible and making it look like I did it. Mm. And, you know, when it's one-on-one, it's easy to say that. But then again, it's almost just as easy to make it, you know, if I have an auditorium full of people and I call someone up on stage or whatever, oh, that's his friend. He paid them. He talked to them before the show. He knows them. They're in on it together. And it's just like, there's no getting around it. That's why I'm thinking about trying to do something kind of close up for the judges, where, you know, why would the judges be in on the gag or whatever if it's their own show? You know, like, they're being paid to be impartial. So
involve them.
Yeah, exactly. I need to. That.
Ooh. Oh, wow. So with what you do and what I've seen, like, you're able to like nail down someone's thought, whether it's be their birthday or getting into their phone. You do cards. Do you do like physical magic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do stuff with playing cards all the time. I mean, you know, like I said, my sleight of hand is good. I prefer mentalism because magic gets kind of a bad rap where it's almost like people think of it as more for kids, whereas mentalism is, I've heard it called magic for intelligent people, you know, right. Which is sort of true because you kind of can't be dumb and really understand mentalism. Like it requires the participant to think just as much as it requires me to think, you know?
Right.
So
with your shtick, what the Joker of New Orleans is about, your face is beat. I just have to tell you, like that's what drag queen talk. That's what they say when you did a good job. I question, like, is this your work?
Yeah. So yeah, I've been doing it for years and it hasn't always looked this good. It's taken a lot of trying out different products, trying out different techniques, and the makeup look itself has changed a little bit over the years. And I've finally gotten it down to a science where I'm pretty confident and I know exactly what I want it to look like, how to do it every single time. So yeah, it is my work.
I would say it's pretty because of the way that it's shaded. I am a detailed oriented person,
right.
And it's very shaded well, but you add that into the mysticism of what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because if you were a booger, let's just be real. If you were a booger Joker, reading someone, they would just look at, you know, your boogerness, and you look great. You look really good. And I want to ask you, so I could talk to him all night. So when you are with like someone on the street, okay, do you, because it's real quick, it's like very quick, you don't really have time to jive with them to get to know them. So when you are meeting these different people, where do you feel like in the back of your head, it's like, I'm feeling something? Or is it everybody? You might go up to everybody and be like, I feel something. I don't know.
No. So usually, especially, you know, if I'm going to be doing it for video, I don't want to just come up with a camera already in someone's face necessarily. So usually what happens, and I have noticed this, if people don't approach me or they don't really seem interested in me, then me approaching them is going to, they're not going to be interested. They're going to run away. They're whatever. So what I do is usually when I'm out, people will just approach me and they'll compliment my makeup or say you're hot or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But anyway, so when those people come up to me, you know, or sometimes they'll be like, oh, what do you do? You know, why are you like this? And then usually it's a perfect segue into, well, I'd like to do mind reading for social media. Would you mind if I do something with you for a video? You know, and then I'll usually hand the phone to one of their friends, or if I'm with somebody, they'll video it. And then, you know, I'll go into my whole shtick. And but usually when people are, what's it called? When people approach me and they're friendly, they're in a good mood, they're interested in me and what I do, and I explain that I'm mind reading, they're all for it, they're usually more open anyway, you know. I mean, it would be no fun to try and chase someone down the street.
Sure.
And, you know, try and beat it over the head. Like, no, let me do something. Come, there's a camera. Turn around. Like, not a good look. I don't want to be that guy. You know?
Right. So when you were growing up, who inspired you?
Growing up, goodness. Well, like I said, I didn't really get into magic until I was like 17 or 18. But growing up, when I was little, I remember I was always rooting for the good guy. Like I couldn't stand the thought of being a bad guy. In fact, my grandparents went on a trip. I must have been like 4 or 5. My grandparents went on a trip to Disney World and they came back and they're like, oh, we got this gift for you. And like, you know, I was like so excited. Oh, they went to Disney and brought me something. It must be great. And I opened it and it was them and my mom and dad. I opened the gift and it was a Captain Hook costume. And I lost it. I was screaming, crying, threw it on the ground. I pitched a fit because, oh my God, they wanted me to be the bad guy. I was devastated. And it, you know, it's just, it's funny because I always looked up to the heroes, like, you know, Hercules and Peter Pan and stuff. Those were some of my favorite movies, but it's just ironic that I grew up into
the Joker.
You know, I play the villain.
Yeah.
And everyone knows me as the villain, but at the same time, like, I never lost that through everything I've been through. I've never lost that will to be good and to just be a kind person. And so, I don't know. It is interesting that I, you know, wear the makeup and the green hair and all that, but I'm trying to change the narrative around the Joker. You know, I call the comic books propaganda, like anti-Joker, pro-Batman propaganda. So, yeah, I've drawn some inspiration from things like that.
Well, that's awesome. Where do you see yourself in 3 years?
3 years? Realistically, I'm hoping that I have either a routine gig in one place, like maybe Vegas, or I have, you know, gigs around the country and maybe around the world. The dream is to really make myself a household name and live comfortably at the very least with, you know, what I'm doing.
But it sounds like, because, you know, I was going to say 5 years and then I pivoted to 3 years, because 5 years sounds like you might, you know, kick it down the road. 3 years,
yeah,
there's more haste in your step. So from what you just said, it sounds like you're hitting the ground running.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is I'm at 90 something thousand on Instagram. As a mentalist, that's huge. I mean, Colin Cloud was on America's Got Talent, I believe, 2017. He made it all the way to the finals. He has a headline show in Vegas. He's only got 60-something thousand followers. Darren Brown is the world's most famous and notorious mentalist. He's had a show on the BBC network in the UK for over 20 years. He only has 160,000 followers. So at this rate, I'm thinking if I get one or maybe two more viral videos this year, I may end up being damn near the most famous mentalist in the world.
Right.
And I'm not trying to step on them, because again, I'm already standing on their shoulders. These guys are titans in the industry, and I would not be at all who I am without them. But you know, if I can secure a spot in that industry and be looked at as an authority in that field, I would be absolutely honored. And that's, you know, that's the goal. I think I can probably manage that within maybe even 2 years. So,
wow. Yeah. I mean, and the way that it just, you know, came on, you know, so fluidly on my reels, and the more I looked, like, I'm very picky, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't just go after people. And there were a few things that made it seem right for me too. In New Orleans, your look, the confidence, the way that it landed. I mean, it's really neat. I really think that you're going to resonate well.
I hope so.
I feel like that. I do.
I hope. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure, because it feels like it's been a slow start, but it also does seem like things are really starting to pan out for me.
Well, it's only 2024 and you really got into it during lockdown. So,
yeah,
I think you're on the right road. You're doing
appreciate things. It.
It's the truth. You guys, we are talking to the Joker of New Orleans. He is real huge on the Instagram. Okay. He is a magician, mentalist, he likes to be called. He spot on nailed me with the card trick. I'm befuddled. Thank you so much.
Yeah, not a problem,
Joker. So I want to ask you, do you plan on staying in New Orleans, or do you, like, if they call you to Vegas, is it like peace out, Nola?
peace out, Nola, right? That's a great question. I have thought about it a bit, and I love this area and the city so much. I grew up here. Everything I know is here. So I think ultimately, if I did go to live somewhere else permanently, I would have to be getting paid enough that I could return to New Orleans whenever I wanted and, you know, see all my friends and family. And I don't know, there's just an energy about the city that I don't want to spend too much time away from it, you know.
And you get to fill your cup. If you do have other projects, you come back here, fill your cup.
Oh, and, absolutely.
You know, and then, because I mean, you know, it does have its share of frustrations too. So you get to go and like live and like grow and stuff and then come back to home base, you know?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think this is going to be my home base, at least for a while. That's fine. But yeah, by the next time I'm on, I will probably have something much bigger and grandiose to show you.
Well, I really appreciate you, you working with me and nailing down the schedule, because it's hectic. I wish you nothing but the best, Joker of New Orleans.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
You got this.
Thank you. That means a lot.
And you carry New Orleans to that stage, and you represent.
Heck yes. That's the plan.
Awesome. And until we speak again, I hope we do. I have plans in the future. Until we do, my family sends you and yours Nola love.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, P-I-N-X-A-V, Pink Salve soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ+ women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksav.com, PINXAV.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use Nola Papa. Get that keyword, Nola Papa. Pinksav, y'all.
Are you ready to embark on a magical journey with your family? Look no further. Welcome to Sandpiper Vacations, where we specialize in crafting unforgettable experiences for LGBTQ+ families. Whether you are dreaming of a relaxing cruise, an all-inclusive resort, or the tropical islands of Hawaii, we've got you covered. Our gay-owned and operated travel agency is dedicated to creating inclusive and memorable experiences for families just like yours. Picture this, a stress-free vacation where every detail is taken care of. That's what we're here for. At Sandpiper Vacations, we understand the unique needs and desires of LGBTQ+ families, and we've curated the perfect destinations just for you. Our planning services are completely free and designed to make your vacation planning as hassle-free as possible. So why stress over planning when you can leave it up to the experts? Let Sandpiper Vacations turn your travel dreams into reality. Visit our website at sandpipervacations.com or give us a call or shoot us a text at 614-407-3232.
Ooh, y'all, it takes a village to make this show happen. And it definitely couldn't happen without the generous pockets from our family of sponsors like Ochsner Hospital for Children, Ochsner.org, Rouse's Markets, Pink Salve Diaper Rash Cream at pinksav.com. Sandpiper Vacations at sandpipervacations.com. Comfort Cases, find them at comfortcases.org. New Orleans Ice Cream Company, find them at neworleansicecream.com. Real Estate with Steph, find her over at realestatewithsteph.com. Our beloved Audubon Institute, find them at audubininstitute.org. Kids Dream Dress Boutique, find them at kidsdreamus.com. And Zach George and his dog training revolution, find him on YouTube. Our partners like gayswithkids.com and all the others that help. But we cannot forget our show's director and editor and knower of all digital things, Adrian over at Ice Media. And of course, we can't forget y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We couldn't have it without you. And if you know anyone that would like to become a partner with NolaPapa.com, you can send them to Eric@NolaPapa.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll shoot it right back, baby. Until then, Nola Love.